T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
2 down, 2 to go here on Sports Talk on WWL, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick, Mark Menard at Master Control, taking your phone calls at 504-260-1870. Saints All-Pro defensive end Cam Jordan set to join us in about 10 minutes. Our entire 7 o'clock hour coming up, Saints Hour, we'll have Joe Horn. As you just heard there, Nick Saban going into the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. So is Hollywood Horn. We'll have Joe at 7:33.
And, you know, Christian, we didn't get to elaborate on this because, you know, it's all fluid. I mean, I'm in the NFL. I made it. Look at the feel-good story, Taylor Stalwart last year. I'm not saying that his career is done. No, you got to be flexible, but it could light a fire under you. Look at Taylor Stalwart. He would have been the one that you look dark horse, a free agent in a South Carolina Gamecock that makes it for the Saints. All of a sudden, we just started the season. Sheldon Rankins not there. He was unbelievable for us stepping up on the back end of the season when Sheldon Rankins couldn't play. Taylor Stalwart. Well, you know, because of the competition, we probably think another young cat that Shy Tuttle's better than you. Now, he's a rookie from Tennessee. And then also we have a veteran in Mario Edwards Jr. Who can play inside or outside, is now available. And this is not even Sheldon Rankins ready to play against Seattle. So the point being is that that's how competitive it is. And all of a sudden you look, oh, man, they released Taylor Stalwart. I didn't see this coming, but they know what they have with the limited roster spots.
Bobby, something we talked about after the game. Will the Saints add a quarterback to the practice squad? They are, and they will sign quarterback JT Barrett the fourth to their practice squad.
So wait, wasn't JT Barrett on the
released?
So the Seahawks released him because he went to the Seahawks practice squad, right?
Right.
Okay, you might say like, well, I'd rather have Eli Manning than JT Barrett. Money is involved and the salary cap. What does JT Barrett make? Minimum? And Eli Manning, $23 million. So I'm just saying when you look at like...
And you can't put Eli on your practice squad.
Yeah, but you understand who you're trying to bring into the fold. And JT Barrett, what does JT Barrett know? He knows the Saints offense. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying he's the answer, but you want to be able to function if ever you're in a situation, a couple of teams in the NFL, look at the Jets. You got one.
Yeah, they're down to the third string quarterback.
You got one. Got Mono. The other one,
Trevor Siemian.
Trevor Siemian, who's a veteran. Okay, he hurt his ankle. Who? Christian. That guy from Washington State. I can't think of his name right now. He played against the Saints in the preseason. Have to look at whose team he was on. Hold on. I got to look.
Trevor Faulk. You talking about Trevor Faulk?
Yes. Okay, think of who we played in the preseason. I'm going to name all the teams right now.
They opened against the Vikings.
No, it wasn't the Vikings.
Then it was the Chargers.
Okay, go ahead.
And then it was the Jets.
Okay.
And then closed out with the Dolphins.
I think he was the Jets guy that, you know, you think, I remember him. Because you know what's crazy? That guy from Washington State, you know, and remember I tell you about take advantage of opportunity. Mm-hmm. That's what Teddy has to do. The guy who's come out of nowhere that's kicking butt, considering what he's got thrown on his plate with Jacksonville, was the Washington State quarterback after Falk. You know what I mean? Okay, I couldn't beat him out, but here's my situation, and I'm taking advantage of it. It just goes to show you about opportunities. So that's like, listen, hey, come on, Teddy Bridgewater. You want to be double-digit, you know, have a career? Here's your opportunity. It might be with the Saints, might be some other team. What are you going to do with it? You got to motivate your teammates around you, and you know you got to win in the trenches. All that is supporting cast. So, Christian, that does not surprise me. JT Barrett, I would just say it's more than one word. What would be like? That's five words. He knows the offense. Or he knows the offense. No, four words.
So Shai Tuttle was better than Taylor Stallworth. That's a question on text. Yes, that's it. That's the bottom line.
Right now where they're at, yes.
And Mario Edwards Jr. gives you some snaps inside as well.
A veteran could play on the edge or inside.
Sheldon Rankins is on the mend.
Yes.
Coming back.
To me right then, the young players, because it's basically the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Shai Tuttle and Taylor Stallworth, I mean, rookie, 1 year, the same. And
he's better.
Shai Tuttle's better, exactly.
Saints All-Pro defensive end Cam Jordan next here on WWL. I'm going to have Cam Jordan on here shortly. James in New Orleans. Thanks for your patience, James. Oh, you're already on. Sorry. So Ryan and Lutcher, you're on WWL.
Man, Chris, you call out James.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Ryan, good. What you got?
I just want to say, Bobby, I agree with everything you're saying. The only way we could get in the playoffs, we got to win the division. And Jalen Ramsey is that guy. He held Hopkins this past week to 40 yards. Lattimore is not that great. And what would it take to get Jalen Ramsey? Would we even be willing? The cornerback is the problem. And what about Patrick Peterson?
Here's the thing about Ryan.
What about Patrick Peterson, Christian?
Here's the thing about Jalen Ramsey. Well, I think Patrick Peterson is a possibility at the deadline. But let me get to Jalen Ramsey. He's got 2 years left on his contract, right? Okay. Then you're gonna hold on, Ryan.
No, and he wants to get paid.
The Saints just paid a receiver in Mike Thomas. They might be willing to pay somebody else in the secondary. Right now, Eli Apple isn't warranting that. Right now, Marshawn Lattimore wouldn't warrant that. Now, you're talking about a 2-year contract. He has 2 years remaining. Plus, I think if I'm the Jaguars, I'm saying, okay, I want 2 first round draft picks. Or I want something of similar capacity. I want a player that merits a first or a second round draft pick.
So
they're not going to just let him walk out of the building.
Well, would you give the Jaguars not 2 first rounds, but would you give him a first round draft pick in Eli Apple?
So next year's one.
Yeah, and then Eli Apple. See, because the number one, that's hard to give up.
But, yeah,
it is. But if you're trying to win now, you think okay. Now, Christian, I'm not saying 2-1. I'm saying Eli Apple.
Sure. Yes, I would.
I think right now Jalen Ramsey would come in here because it's different. People say, okay, you're playing football. Listen, it's so complicated to bring in, like, a foreign quarterback. JT Barrett get put on the practice squad. He knows the Saints offense. Now, a cornerback, and you look at the terminology, hand signals and all that, what they got to know, you could put basically on a couple of sheets of paper. What a quarterback has to know on the NFL level, it's a short novel. You hear what I just told you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you. People think, oh, bring Eli in here. Eli's like, come on, he won 2 Super Bowls. How you call plays, what you have to grasp, and Eli has a lot of intelligence. That's why who I always brag on. He went to Harvard, Ryan Fitzpatrick. All the different offenses he's learned. But you know what? He's had an off season. Think about where Ryan Fitzpatrick, where he ends up. Remember when he was at Tampa Bay? Okay, then he ended up with Miami. But he didn't show up in Miami right before September. He got to grasp, he was able to grasp what the Dolphins were doing before he got there.
If you had asked me if I'd have given up a first-round draft pick and Eli Apple last week for Jalen Ramsey, I would have said, absolutely, go do it. Now with Drew Brees' thumb and – we don't know. You could be trading a potentially top 15 pick, top 10 pick.
Like maybe your future quarterback? Is that what you're saying?
You could be trading a top 10 pick, potentially.
Man,
you don't know.
Come
I think
on, Chris,
it makes
we ain't picking
it
no
easier.
Damn top 10. We going to win. We ain't going to be that sorry.
Well, I mean, I wish I could say that. I wish I could say that with 100%
confidence.
I'm saying
if we got a quality team that we listen, shame on our organization considering the expectations. I don't care if it's Teddy Bridgewater, Taysom Hill, Christian, if we pick a top 10, this season has totally sucked. I said this way back when the schedule came out. Now, this is with Drew Brees. I thought Las Vegas got it right to get 11 wins. You know, the over and 11 wins. Last year they had us at 9. I go, man, the Saints take that stealing money from Vegas. 11 wins, I think that's about right. Now, even without Drew Brees where we're at, considering the team he's supposed to have and the roster – right now, Christian, that might not be good enough. We got to get double-digit wins. But if we're below 9-7, I'd say, man, we're not as good as we think we are. If we would go like 7-9, God forbid 6-10, or 8-8, come on. We got a better team than that. And Sean Payton, didn't we give you a bunch of millions and the whole staff? No, Christian, I would not accept that. Now, to me, I would keep it real. 9-7, I still think we get the 10 wins, double-digit wins. But anything 8-8, I ain't for that. No, I'm not. We can't give them no pass. They ain't getting no pass. Oh, well, Drew Brees is out. This and that. No. Don't you have a good supporting cast? A quality team? Come on. We got to win double digits. That's why top 10 pick? No. We need to win it now.
You got three first-round picks along the offensive line, a left tackle that is elite when he's healthy, and you've got a defensive end, an all-pro defensive end in Cam Jordan. Trey Hendrickson is improving. Linebackers are pretty solid, even though you put Alex Anzalone on in reserve. You got Kiko Alonso.
Alonso, a tackling machine.
Right. So you've got Mike Thomas. You've got Alvin Kamara. You've got weapons on this team that should be able to win games without Drew Brees. That was the whole idea of how it was constructed. It was constructed that if they did need to win games without Drew Brees, they could do so.
Amen. Amen. It's not like, oh, Drew Brees got to bail us out. I got to do this and that. No, we're supposed to be structured, and I think we are better. Listen, if you look top to bottom, like you look like the Vikings roster. If the Vikings don't win, shame on Kirk Cousins. They got a roster. You look at different teams, look at their roster, and then you look at the quarterback. So I look at the Saints. We're supposed to have this roster? Okay. And I'm not asking too much. Even without Drew Brees, can we go 500? Come on. I'm not saying, Christian, we got to be 7-1 after 8 games. I'm saying 4-4, and we're in the hunt, and we have a chance. That's why, listen, you can't give them a pass. And hell no, they ain't getting no pass. There's expectations. And I would tell Zach Street this, too. Listen, the O-line, I know that's all your boys there, but Zach maybe needs to go give him a pep talk. Coach Rauscher or something. That was very humbling. Boy, they got their ass whipped by the Rams. And that ain't happened too often. Because I think we got one of the top offensive lines in the NFL. But it sure in hell didn't show up against the Rams. Everybody got a freaking penalty. And, you know, no one could say like, well, I did my job. I don't know about you. No, everybody got whooped. That's very humbling. So hopefully you check yourself. You look in the mirror. And then you go forward. And it ain't going to get easier. The Seahawks are going to be tough. But they ain't as good as the Rams up front. Now you got Clowney, and you're going to have Ziggy Ansah on also.
If this injury had happened to Drew Brees in 2014, 15, or 16, I'd say they're 3-13.
Yeah, it's different. It's different. But not now. Not now what we've done the last two seasons and what we've built here. No, not now. No way you can't – they don't get a free pass.
Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, Sports Talk continues here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Chuck B. What's going on, Chuck B.? You're on WWL.
You know what, Christian? You are my friend.
What you got, Chuck B.? Why is that? Christian's your friend? I got to hear this.
So, Bob, you're great, but I'm here to talk to my friend, Christian Garrick.
All right, so Christian, Chuck B. has he wants to talk to his friend.
Okay, go ahead, Chuck B.
This is my Stephen A. Smith, Tim Tebow take, you know. So Tim Tebow is Stephen A.'s friend. Christian, you're my friend.
Okay. Right.
So no, you want to get at me a little bit?
No, man, not at all. Listen, but I said at the beginning, before the season started, the Saints don't have enough speed at cornerback. Even though we kind of covered the guys, they just Lattimore.
Eli Apple.
Really, they can't play the ball. They can't track the ball in the air. They just don't have enough speed to cover the kind of receivers that we see today. They just don't. Offensively, we still don't have enough speed to take the top off at wideout. We just don't. Look, Bobby, you look at it like me. I mean, I'm a Buddy D. Who that? I call it the way it is. You got to call a spade a spade. Dallas is loaded. They got a wide receiver core that's for real.
The cowgirls, are loaded.
Right. So you gotta respect that. So
right.
The fact is this: while we have a team that's constructed a certain way, Drew Brees is the reason why they're able to execute that way. The offensive line, they're used to Drew getting rid of the ball fast. Therefore, we don't have any holding penalties. You replace that with somebody that don't have the amount of reps, you know, the amount necessary to be comfortable with that. They don't know where he's at. Drew, you know where he's at. He's in the pocket. He's going to step up. He's going to slide one step to the left or to the right. He can avoid, but the ball comes out quickly. That's why we got those holding penalties. You got to get
Teddy holds the ball.
Pass, man.
He holds the ball a little bit. You know what I think the reason for that, though, Chuck B, is he doesn't know. Hold on, Chuck B. I don't want to talk over you. You don't want to talk over me. You know why I think that is? Is because he's not as familiar with the offense like Drew is. Drew knows his offense cold.
Exactly. So, therefore, you kind of have to give the offensive line a pass a little bit. And then the defense, you got to give them a pass because, I mean, halftime, it was 6-6. They did their job, and the referees, the Zebras, robbed them of a touchdown.
Well, the thing is, we should have been winning, Chuck B, either 10-3 or 10-6 at half. And, that's the type of game we should have been in. The momentum, this is the kind of game, especially with Drew being out, you might say, well, look at the outcome. No, I think this was significant. That's why I couldn't even freaking talk at halftime. I was so disgusted. I was ready to start crying. I go, I can't believe what the officials are doing. And then how can you take that away? Come on, swallow your whistle, and then you review it if it's incomplete pass.
The only thing I have to say is this, though. I put this on the coaching staff because if you go invest that amount of money and time in a Teddy Bridgewater, you have to have him ready when you're paying him that kind of money.
Wait, Chuck B. Hold on, Chuck B.
Well,
it's not just the coaches.
See the next couple
don't
of
judge.
Weeks.
Don't judge his preparedness by this past game. Judge it over the next 6 weeks.
I understand that. Yeah, exactly. I understand that, and I'm gonna be fair with that. So, Sean Payton, you're an offensive coach. You're a quarterback's coach. You're a quarterback developer. Now's your chance to show what you can do with your guy because he's your guy.
Yep, and you know, Chuck B, and I tell you what, you look at the offensive line, it all starts up front, and we follow the ball as fans. But I've said this, the least sacked quarterback. Now, think about this. We all know I talked about this before. You got to give the offensive line credit, but it's everybody. It's running back knowing their assignment, blocking the right guy. If you're releasing the route, a tight end chipping, you're going out. Everybody's involved with a team sack. And if you look at, since Drew Brees and Sean Payton together, it's not even close. Saints are the least sacked team, the least sacked quarterback or team in the NFL. Last year, we were just behind the Chargers and Phillip Rivers, but we were like two. No, that is unbelievable. So I'm looking at that the offensive line and Teddy Bridgewater and offensive line, you know what has to happen? That they believe in each other. They believe in each other and that, you know what? God, I got beat. Do I have confidence that you're going to get rid of the ball? Then the offensive line tell the quarterback, man, that was a great play, even though you checked it down, or vice versa. Oh, man, that was great protection. That made all the difference in the world why I was able to throw it 50, 60 yards or whatever. Or, boy, keep blocking them. We're running the ball. We got them on their heels. We're running. Then I'm doing play action. They can't win. So that's where it goes hand in hand. People are like, oh, Drew Brees is like the least sacked quarterback, 13 seasons. But Drew will tell you it's all about the complementary pieces, but then it's also the complementary pieces believing in you. Believing in you. That's what Teddy Bridgewater got to get. Don't be jacking the ball back there like, where'd I go with the ball? Look, you got to live to fight another day. I don't know. You might have to dump it to a running back, whatever.
Take the profit. Take the profit. You'll never go broke if you take a profit.
Listen,
sometimes you might have to settle for a check down.
When we talk to Drew Brees, he always talks about it doesn't look pretty, but that check down play, you know what? It's a positive play.
Mm-hmm.
You're still going forward. You're not going backwards. And a lot of young quarterbacks, they can't figure that out. They still, I think the coach might tell them, but they still think
hard-headed.
Bombs away. No, that's good. You can do all that. But what do you do when the crap hits the fan? And all of a sudden, the offensive line looking at you with big eyes, and then you can't be looking back at them with big eyes. They're like, oh, do you know what they're telling you in the huddle? Oh, they feel blitzkrieg. Like, man, what the hell is going to happen now? That's why it's a total team game. Why I love football and what it takes to truly be productive. I'm telling you, you ain't got to throw it 80, 90 yards. You ain't got to be Pat Mahomes. Now, Pat Mahomes is unbelievable, but there ain't too many Pat Mahomes out there. How can you play winning football to help your team win? And that's why you got an offense backwards and forwards. And Teddy Bridgewater has been here long enough, you know?
Yeah.
And Alvin Kamara all in the meetings. He's like, come on, dogs. give me a crease. Give me a crease. Come off the ball. Win one-on-one. Now, easier said than done against Aaron Donalds of the world and all that. But I'm saying going forward, that's how you truly have sustained drives. And whether it's time of possession and you're getting points, and then you're complementing your defense.
Chuck B., thanks for the phone call. Big Al, what's going on, Big Al? You're on WWL.
Hey, hey, Christian. How you and Bobby doing tonight?
Good, all right, man. Big Thank Al.
You. Listen, I ain't keep you long. Just the observation here. I'll tell you one thing was going to happen if it don't get corrected, and I mean get corrected soon. We have a lot of problems with the defense, secondary. They kill us. I mean, we could score 40 points, and our secondary just lets us down. They're not covering properly. They're missing tackles, stuff like that. And that's not just started. That's been a couple of years.
Oh yeah, they're getting torched. No, you're not sugarcoating. You're telling, speaking the truth.
You know, so you know, and if we don't correct that, we might as well forget about some playoffs or going anywhere.
Look,
we'd be home.
Big Al, here's another thing too you need to point to. They've got two first rounders and a second rounder in that secondary. All right. Actually, they've got two first rounders and two second rounders. Marcus Williams and Vaughn Bell in the second round, Eli Apple in the first, Marshawn Lattimore in the first. They can't play like that. You're expected as a first and second rounder to be a starter and be a big time player. You're expected. Exactly. That's the expectation. Look, Trey Hendrickson's a third-round draft pick. Look how he's producing this summer and on into the season. I think Trey Hendrickson is off to a really good start. The defensive line, I think, has lived up to their obligation, Bobby. I think the defensive line has done their part. I think the linebackers have done their part. It's the secondary right now that's the weak link on this team.
Well, all I know is – Big Al, hold your point right there. But I look at the first two games, and I look what happened last year. We gave up a quarterback rating over 100. So if you want to have a little confidence, you play the Saints defense. Then you got a little swagger. And then, you know, you're feeling good about yourself. We don't need no damn quarterback feeling good about himself. Now, that's why I say I'd be shocked if we're going to disrupt Russell Wilson. I think Russell Wilson... it might be a Teddy Bridgewater got a hang because I don't think we're going to – come on, you think Russell Wilson's going to be freaked out what we do defensively? I mean, I don't think so.
Not going to be freaked out, but I think they'll be able to get some pressure on him.
Well,
offensive line is built more for running the football than pass protection.
I have to see it. I think, Christian, looking at our schedule, I would say Russell Wilson, no. The way Dak Prescott's playing, I'm not too encouraged with our defense – not making those individuals, that being Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott, to be confident. Now, against Tampa Bay, hell yeah, Jameis Winston.
No, he'll throw you a couple.
Yeah. Look at Jacksonville, where they're at. You know, without Nick Foles. They got a young guy coming in there. Chicago, yeah, Trubisky. Trubisky's the damn weak link on the Bears. If you put Drew Brees or you put like a Tom Brady, anybody like on the Bears are legit. But so you just look at then you got obviously you got to have Arizona and, you know, and what's his name? Kyler?
Kyler Murray.
Yeah, Kyler Murray. Yeah, so but right now the veterans that Russell Wilson, Christian, I don't.
I'm not saying it's going to rattle him. He's not going to get rattled. But
I think we can hit him in the mouth and it won't even bother.
No, it won't. No. I mean, Russell Wilson's one of the elites in the game.
No, and he probably make us miss sometimes.
Yeah.
We need our offense. We need to win in the trenches, offensive and defensive line. So.
Big Al, anything else, man, before we let you run?
Yeah, one last thing, man. I hope the defense is players are listening. They got to get communication going. They're killing themselves right there. Nobody, they look like they're running around like a bunch of junior high schools. They got to communicate better because that's what hurts and it hurts him bad.
Well, you know what? I'm not saying you got to take away the football or get interceptions, but, you know, you watch a game, and I'm even looking at times, you know, the Rams defenders are you know what I really appreciate, whether you're a linebacker, a safety, or a cornerback, and that it's a bang-bang play, and then you don't get a penalty called on you. You know, like a pass defending, and then you look back like, damn, that was good coverage. And not necessarily grabbing him around the waist.
See, I thought Eli Apple. The ball down. I think the one they called on Eli Apple was not pass interference. It just
don't put his right arm around his waist.
He had it like just right on the right shoulder. He didn't. He wasn't pulling him. I get it. The hook feels like that, or the official sees that.
It looks like that.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I think that today's day and age, the NFL. Don't get me started on officiating. But
right.
I think that. Man, they're making it incredibly tough to play defensive back in this league. They just are. I mean, that would not have been pass interference 10 years ago. It would not have been.
Right, well, they're going to call that now, so you got to adjust with the rules. Listen, 10 years ago, King Crawley might be a Pro Bowler. Because King Crawley, did I let him play a little dirty? Who's the guy we had from Seattle?
Brandon Browner.
Brandon Browner made a Pro Bowl. He was so nasty every play. Then they said, man, we got to change the rules. That guy's too aggressive. No, you can't do that anymore. Sorry. But it just, you got to be able to adjust. But again, the timing when you come to play. But like Brandon Browner and King Crawley, how aggressive at times. Man, that looked like good coverage. A flag. And then you get, come on, you can't do that. We can't have that.
You know what, Bobby? I think the NFL has an officiating crisis on their hands. I really do.
So a crisis, you think?
I do. Because, again, I talked about it on Friday, Bobby. You were out. You were off. And I think that because the biggest problem is there's no accountability for an official that makes an error. I'm not talking about a bang-bang play.
Right.
You get that wrong, that's fine. You're human. I get it. But when you apply rules wrong, like the Saints have had it happen to them twice in two games, three times in the last three games, come on. There's no excuse for it. You can't get it wrong. You're a pro. Well, and on top of that, man, they applied the rule wrong. It wasn't, that's not pass interference. Yes, it is. It was, you're supposed to let that play be a fumble and then go back and review it because all turnovers and scoring plays are reviewed. So you have that safety net. You have the safety net. So play to the safety net. And then last week against the Houston Texans, they took 15 seconds away from the Saints. I mean, that stuff can't happen. It's going to start to turn fans off. Not to mention, there's a lot riding on these games for these teams, these players, these coaches, these fan bases, and the folks that are betting on the game.
Well, to me, how they handle also roughing the passer. I think it matters who's the quarterback, whether they call roughing the passer. Now, I think Nick Foles, they get enough respect. I look how Nick Foles got taken to the ground. We talked about this about an hour ago. Bradley Chubb with the Broncos. I don't know. He's tackling the quarterback, and they call the penalty? Look how significant that was. That, to me, is still mind-boggling. Now, with that being said, I will not bitch too much because I think they'd have Drew Brees' back. You know, because we have a Hall of Fame quarterback. He'd be in that category that we would get those calls. Now, without Drew Brees, no, they might knock the crap out of Teddy Bridgewater or Taysom Hill and don't call anything. So you know how that rule to me is still suspect. It's like, okay, he hit him right when he was throwing it, and he's just following through with the tackle. You know, he just took him to the turf. That to me gets me more than anything. I was like, how can that be a penalty? He's tackling him. The ball was in his hands and he released it. Oh, you can't take him to the ground. Take him to the ground? We play tackle football. What? That
you wish you could play under these rules,
well,
huh?
What? I mean, it's like, come on.
You play until you're 45.
Well, I mean, it's just a point to me, which tackling is tackling and not like, but puts a lot of pressure when you're getting after the quarterback that once you hit him, it's almost you have to like hold him up. To just hit him and let him know you're there and just hold him up. Okay, don't land on him. He might hurt him. That's ridiculous.
All right, coming back to your calls next here on Sports Talk on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, coming up next hour, Joe Horn, Hollywood Horn, former Saints wide receiver, Louisiana Hall of Famer now, just got inducted. Cal in Mid-City, what's going on, Cal? You're on WWL.
Yeah, buddy, you there?
Yeah, go ahead, Cal.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Cal.
Go ahead, Cal.
I'm listening, man, to the from days past when Sean Payton remarked that his future quarterback was always in the house. I think that was before the Teddy Bridgewater time. But my question is, why did he not throw him into the game other than the wide receiver last week when we needed a quarterback and see what he could do?
Well, because we didn't have enough wide receivers. All of a sudden, Keith Kirkwood is warming up. Oh, my hamstring. Wait, Christian, did we put him on IR or something?
Put on IR today.
His hamstring's that bad?
I guess.
I mean, what in the world? But listen, that was the reason why all of a sudden Taysom Hill wasn't utilized maybe more. Our ranked quarterback plays, because I think they have that in every game plan, was like, we counting on Taysom Hill because we depleted the wide receiving core.
Not to mention, you know what a third quarterback does during the week? Runs the scout team. He just does. He hardly gets any reps. And plus, the way they use Taysom Hill, he's taking reps on special teams. He's taking reps at wide receiver, at running back. So he didn't have the reps. It was the prudent thing to do to give it to Teddy Bridgewater because, A, that's who they feel like is the backup. That's who they have listed as the backup. That's who they treat as the backup with reps during practice. So
right.
The idea that you're just going to throw Taysom Hill in there, I think you would have had a disaster, to be honest with you.
Well, and they're going to have him. They want him to succeed when he gets the opportunity. So I would think now in the game plan, you look against Seattle, yes, an opportunity. Because everything has changed. Now, still, to utilize him in, you know, receiver or whatever it might be interesting to see. But how you or what are you willing to risk as far as Taysom Hill? You want him to be healthy because you never know what could come about with Bridgewater. But the whole thing was, yes, Taysom Hill is going to be part of the offense. And if he came in at quarterback, it was because we, you know, given an opportunity like we've done a number of plays with Drew Brees, we could put him out wide, do an RPO, whatever. But now I think Taysom Hill is going to be part of the offensive game plan, whether it's at quarterback at different positions, and have instead of one handful, a couple of handfuls plus plays.
Pete in Covington, what's going on, Pete? You're on WWL.
Hey, man, yeah, Bobby and Christian. Christian, a little while ago you said about NFL having a referee crisis. I couldn't agree with that more, especially when we play the Rams. We cannot beat the Rams because we playing 11 against 12 or 13, like that NFC championship game. That was supposed to be home field advantage for us, and they bring their referees. And this game Sunday, everybody on our offensive line got flagged. No, that's BS. That's BS, man. And I'm just sick of this. We cannot beat the Rams because we're going against the referees every time. And as far as the rest of our year, I think Bridgewater is going to do just fine, and so is Taysom Hill. I think they can hold it down until. Until Breeze gets back, and Bobby said a little while ago, double-figure wins. I agree with that. I think we can still win 10 or 11 games. All right, man.
Right.
Do that.
All right, Pete. And, Christian, you know what? Listen, a penalty is a penalty. You know, if they're going to call it on our offensive line, and you look at the replay, well, they're going to call that. That is holding. But I saw a number of times. I want to say they called it eventually against Cam Jordan. But Haverstein, what's his name? Haverstein, whatever. That dude was holding Cam Jordan every play.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not looking at that? He got him by his neck. He's like got a crossbar across. Okay, that's holding. If we do that to opponent and they call a flag, go, well, you can't do that. That's holding. But when they do it against us, how can you not call that against Cam Jordan? And they did it eventually. It was like, you know, when they called it, to
when
kind of balance it out.
Decided.
Yes, the game's already freaking decided. That's what take me off. Well, yeah, call it now because look at the score. No, that was suspicious to me when I saw that. No, you could have called that in the first half.
All right, our Saints Hour coming up next on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome inside the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, our Saints Hour here. Talking about the Saints and Rams first. The loss. Why? What went wrong against the Rams? Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick here with you. We'll have Joe Horn alongside at about 7:30. On offense, Bobby, let's go in each unit. On offense, what went wrong aside from losing quarterback Drew Brees?
Well, we didn't win on the offensive line. I think any time – now, this could be – I don't care if it's offense, defense, or special teams, but I'm focused on the offensive line because everybody got a penalty. When you have 11 penalties, 87 yards. So if you look at this figure, this is something that's universal. If you have 9 or more penalties, you can all remember this, or 100 yards, that's like a touchdown. Now, Chris, I don't know if it made a difference. You look at the final score, 27-9, but you look when penalties occur, how they stop drives or whatever, what happens. So, yeah, more discipline in the trenches and winning those one-on-one battles. Now, with that being said, I'm looking at DeReal McCoy, who we have at center. He's probably thinking, and along, you know, when Andrews Pete and even, you know, had a poor game.
Larry Wolford.
So it's like almost even they can go forward and not see the likes of Aaron Donald again on that level. In other words, you could see a very good player, a great player, but not Aaron Donald. You understand the point I'm making? It, that all of a sudden, so you can't be so down on yourself. It's like, man, we got our ass whipped. No, bounce back and just win next week because that's what it's all about. And so when I look at Christian, where we're at, why they lost, and we tend to follow the football as fans, I was real discouraged what we did in the trenches. And if you look at the big plays, and obviously we get better coverage, our pass rush, Jared Goff, we need to hit him in the mouth more. But if we could package this, what we did, Christian, that playoff game in the first quarter defensively, yeah. Jared Goff couldn't even call a play. But he's probably learning from that to be a better quarterback.
We'll get to the defense in a minute.
Yeah.
But offensively, for me, also the drops played a factor. I mean,
yes.
They had some drops that, I mean, Mike Thomas had a drop. I think Jared Cook had
two. Had a couple of them.
I'll go back to that. I think that there's something to be said for this as well, Bobby. I think that you lose your starting quarterback, your Hall of Fame quarterback in Drew Brees, and then Teddy Bridgewater comes in. We've talked about his personality, right? It's not an intense one. And I think that naturally permeates throughout the team that might become a little less concentration. The players might lose a little focus because of that. And I'm just being honest. That's just my assessment.
Right.
And I think that what's drops caused by? Lack of concentration, right? So I would go there with the drops. I'd also go with the offensive line, just getting whipped, period. Holding calls as well. The inability to establish a run. 57 yards rushing. I know that front's tough, but they get touched up for rushing yards from time to time. They did last year. I chalk it up to those factors.
Yeah, when you're looking at Christian, we average 2.9 yards, so under 3 yards.
That's not going to get it done.
No, the Rams' run defense was not that good. I mean, what I mean by not that good, these cats they've given up. I should say they were middle to the bottom of the pack. They've given up 122 yards a game. So when I looked at it, when all said and done, and then we had 57 yards on 20 carries. No, we should have had on 20 attempts, if we'd have been like 80 plus yards, you might like, you know what I'm saying? But not averaging 2.9 yards a carry. That was, Kamara had one run for a long gain of 12 yards, but it, definitely not good enough. And I think going forward against the Seahawks, whatever, I don't know, Christian, we're going to have 25, 30 rushing attempts. Hopefully we have balance there, and you're not playing catch up. That to help Teddy Bridgewater succeed, we got to be able to run the ball.
Bobby, on the defensive side of the football, I think the pass rush was pretty solid. I thought the disruption was pretty good. I think they played outstanding in the first half. I'm talking about the defense as a whole, but in the secondary is where I think this game was won and was ultimately lost on the defensive side of the football. In particular, tackling. Tackling was poor. Coverage was poor. Eli Apple didn't play well. Marshawn Lattimore didn't play well. Marcus Williams didn't play well. I think the secondary was the biggest issue for the Saints on defense.
Well, it was very suspect, considering, you know, always talk about, you know, a team might be moving the chains, but can you have stout red zone defense or you got to take away or force a field goal? And look, and overall in the red zone, we were bending, not breaking. I thought that was outstanding. They went in the red zone six times and only gave up three touchdowns. So, that you know, that's pretty good when you think about it. 50%, yes. If we can, instead of 5 or 6 or 6 for 6 in the red zone, then it truly would have been an unbelievable blowout. But when I look at, like, Cooper Kupp, he's averaging 24 yards of reception. Brandon Cooks averaging 25 yards of reception. No, you can't get gash and give up a 66-yarder by Kupp or Cooks a 57-yarder. And you name the players. I mean, you know, the guys that are we counting on, Christian, you know, I've never seen this in a game. I said, it's got to be a misprint. It might, unless, you know how they adjust the stats sometimes?
Yeah.
How can you play a football game and you don't get a pass defended? Okay, I'm going to say that again.
As a DB now.
A DB, D lineman, somebody.
The Saints defense didn't report a pass defense at all?
Zero passes
now
defended.
Now that's a glaring stat.
Okay, and you know how many the Rams had? 7. We've had games we've been in double digits pass defense. I remember like that was Cam Jordan batting the ball down. That is a glaring stat, Christian. We know we didn't have an interception. But 0 passes defended? Jared Goff ain't that good. Come right on. He ain't that – no, Christian, he's good now.
No.
He's real good, but he ain't that good.
That's not Tom Brady you're playing.
Yeah, not
that's
Tom
not Joe
Brady.
Montana.
It's not Tom Brady the Greenbrier. Right. Well, the ball ain't hitting the ground, and he's going 19-20 at one receiver drop. No, we didn't have one pass defended.
That's Christian, incredible. Might say, oh, we didn't talk about that enough.
Yeah, you might talk about pass rush and sacks and all that, and we ended up with 3 sacks. We had 6 quarterback hits, hurries, but 0 pass defended. That means, you know what? You're not close enough to who you're guarding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember I just told you earlier about an hour and a half ago when you see like, man, that's pretty good coverage where, you know, he's not grabbing but knocking the ball down. We're not that close at times to the opposing receivers.
It's the Saints Hour. All-Pro defensive end Cam Jordan next here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.